950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Democrat of the day is representing us currently in the Minnesota House on, are you in currently 46? 46B?
45B.
45B, there it is.
But running in 43B.
Oh, I love redistricting. It's Representative Mike Freiberg is kind enough to join us. Hi, Representative. How are you?
Great. How are you? I apologize for being late. We were session is just winding down right now.
It's that time of year. No, you never have to apologize. You're doing your job. That's why you're there. My goodness. I'm the clown car you can entertain on the side. No, by all means. I'm glad we were able to get you on in here. Let's start with the redistricting. How much did your district change? I mean, it does have a lot of the same cities in there, but now it looks like it picked up a little bit of Plymouth.
Yeah. It didn't change a ton, but it did change somewhat. So I had about 2/3 of Golden Valley. I will be running in a district that includes all of it, as well as a little bit of Plymouth. I lost the one precinct in New Hope, and I will be running to represent a little bit less of Crystal than I currently represent. So I'll miss some of my current constituents, but I look forward meeting some new constituents, including my parents I met before, but I haven't represented them in the legislature.
And Robbinsdale, too. You got Robbinsdale in there still?
Yep, all of Robbinsdale. That's the one city I currently represent all of, and if I am reelected, I will continue to.
You're building a pretty good name for yourself there in the House, and you're fairly well liked. I'm feeling pretty confident about even though we're changing the number to 43B. But let's talk a little bit about what happened last year. You were preventative health policy division on committee chair there, which obviously you've been pretty busy with that. You're on legislative process reform, capital investing, health, finance, and policy. Talk about last year. What were some of the big positives that you had in 2021?
Sure. I was happy with the work we did in the preventive health policy division. We heard a lot of important bills, some of which got rolled into the health omnibus bill. You know, it's just some of the bills that I've carried were signed into law. I was very happy about that. Since we're one of two states in the country that has a divided legislature right now, you need bipartisan support for anything to become law. So, unfortunately, I'd like to see transformational change in the areas of, fully funding our public school system and making sure everyone has health care who needs it that's meaningful, and addressing the climate change crisis, and ensuring everyone can vote, easily and reliably. The Senate is not going to allow some of those things to become law, but some of the bills I introduced tackled those topics and they became law, which I was very happy about. You know, I had a bill, for example, just creating a revolving loan fund that state agencies can use to improve sustainability in state buildings, and that became law. So, not a huge step, but I think it will help address the climate crisis. There was a bill just to increase reporting in election spending in Hennepin County that became law. So election reform has been a very difficult area to work in. I was glad to be able to get something positive done in that area. So, it's just, the one thing now that everyone tends to ask me about because we're changing our clocks is moving to daylight saving time permanently once Congress gives us the authority to. That's another thing I authored that became law. So, but we still have to wait for Congress to act on that one.
Do you think Congress will act on that?
Well, they had a hearing on it just a couple days ago. I wouldn't necessarily bet my money on Congress doing anything necessarily, but you never know. I mean, they can, they have much more relaxed rules about what sorts of provisions can be tacked on together. So we tend to follow the single subject rule a little more strictly here in a state government, but you frequently see things attached to much larger bills in Congress. So it wouldn't totally surprise me if that got rolled into some other bill in Congress, but we'll have to see. There are 18 states that have this, so there's definitely momentum behind it. And those are blue states, those are red states. So you know, and the members of Congress in the House and the Senate represent those states too. So they're probably feeling some pressure to act. So I'm hopeful, but hard to predict anything with Congress.
Well, these same Republicans that basically were against Ukraine until they realized 98% of the country was for Ukraine, and all of a sudden they took a brave stance. Nicely done. As you bring this up, and let's go back to local here. With the Senate Republicans, you got 2022 here. You've got, you know, your final year serving 45B. You obviously have some things on the agenda. What do you think you can get and work with the Senate Republicans on getting passed?
I do think a bit, you know, one of the most important things to deal with is just making sure the workers who, you know, put their health on the line during the early stages of the pandemic get compensated for it. So Amen. We passed a very strong package through the House that, you know, would allocate $1 billion to, you know, grocery store workers, healthcare workers, just people who, department store workers, people who were out there doing the work that needed to be done while, you know, other people were able to work, you know, from the safety of their own homes. So I think we need to do that. I'm hopeful that we will eventually, but hopefully it won't be one of those last second deals that happened at the end of session, but it's hard to predict how it'll play out here. But I think that's something we need to do.
Well, and let's bring that up a little bit more here, because I remember I was there when in 2020 that these Republicans were out there screaming that grocery store workers had to get back to work, and drivers and security guards and delivery drivers, all these people had to get back to work. It wasn't just nurses and doctors. And yet they, when it comes down to saying thank you to those frontline workers that went in there, especially in 2020 when there wasn't a vaccine, it wasn't sure how this was going to go, and they went back and they kept this country going. Now all of a sudden they want to act like, well, we put up a sign for you, so that's good enough. And I'm just disgusted by that. I'm glad you included grocery store workers, because there's a lot of them that worked really hard in really dangerous times, and yet they went in there and they did their job.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be able to have functioned without them. So they need, you know, I think they are as deserving of recognition as anybody who was working during the pandemic.
The Republicans right now are trying to make hay on the election cycle in regards to this. I don't know what they're trying to do. The idea that people can go and independently threaten or physically harm a teacher, I don't quite know. They're not exactly clear on what their argument is. Because if they're really about parental choice, right now in the state of Minnesota, anyone can homeschool their child, which is the ultimate in parental choice. They can do that. So this idea that a parent can kick open a classroom door and start screaming in the face of a teacher is unacceptable. As we have right now, the teachers in Minneapolis are on strike. It's just, we're coming to the grips here that the pay and the salaries and the benefits that they've had, they're just not been there. And on top of that, now you got Republicans who want to just scream at teachers because they can't stand the teachers union.
Yeah, no, it's unacceptable. I mean, teachers, you know, do heroic work, and you know, they need to be fairly compensated for it. We need to, you know, invest in education fully, you know, whether you're talking about classroom teachers, special education, support staff, school counselors, you know, and we can't, you know, it's one of the hardest jobs out there. They don't get paid enough. You get in some states now, they're trying to ban books from school libraries and stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, we need to treat them with the respect they deserve. I completely agree.
Well, and you've got kids. I mean, it's like you see that in there. I mean, I've had magnificent teachers. I'm in the Hopkins School District. I don't know which one you're in, but I've had magnificent teachers. And the idea that some parent is going to kick in, and just the practicality of it, you're going to have 25 parents ordering a teacher to put up one lesson plan that's going to meet all their needs. I mean, it's so clear all they want to do is destroy the public education system and replace it with charter schools so that people can make money off of it. It really is disappointing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, one of my kids has special needs, and so he has a 504 plan, and, you know, there are some accommodations he needs that that other students don't. So, yeah, no, having a one-size-fits-all plan, you know, for kids, I can speak from personal experience, is not something that's going to work.
Can I ask what you guys were talking about on the House floor just a few minutes ago?
Well, we were talking about a drought relief bill, but then it got we got a little bit bogged down in a surprise motion to bring up this unemployment insurance bill that the Republicans are really enjoying hammering on, but not willing to make an accommodation to the frontline workers.
So. It's the same story, different day. That's right. So I think it's fair for me to say the reason why you were late for the interview is not you. It's the darn Republicans. look at how much damage they're doing, people. I think it's that simple. You are running again, 43B. I'm feeling pretty good about this, but let's make sure we get people to your website. Someone wants to volunteer. Someone wants to donate. Someone wants to make sure that you stay in the Minnesota House. How do they? Where do they find more information about your campaign?
Sure. My website is mikefreiberg.com. It's F-R-E-I-B-E-R-G. They can also just email me. It's Freiberg, again, F-R-E-I-B-E-R-G @gmail.com. So always happy to hear from people, especially if they're in the district, and respond to their questions. And obviously, I love to have some support as well. So, I've done pretty well, but I never take an election for granted. And I've got new constituents that I'll be sure to get out and meet during the upcoming campaign.
And if someone comes and door knocks in your district, I'm sure you will have good dining suggestions for people that come in and say door knock for a day and they want to go out and get some dinner. I'm sure within your district, you can point to at least 5 or 6 great places for them to go, right?
Absolutely. Would you like me to?
Well, I mean, if they do, I mean, so this is an enticement. Well, you're not buying, but I mean, this is an enticement to get them out to your district. Go out there, door knock for a day this summer. It's Golden Valley, mm-hmm. Robbinsdale, Plymouth. It's all very lovely community. Go on out there, door knock for a day, and then ask the representative, hey, I want to get this kind of food. What would you recommend? I'm sure you'll have some suggestions.
Yeah, well, there's some great restaurants in downtown Robbinsdale. Marna's Cafe has Costa Rican food. Nona Rosa's has Italian food. Travail Kitchen, if you like a fancier type place. And they also have a offshoot, Pig Ate My Pizza.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it at that. We're at the end of the show. Once again, it's mikefreiberg.com. I'll post this all a little bit later on. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate you being Democrat of the Day.
My pleasure. It's an honor.
Take care. We'll be back with a Friday show, Native Roots Radio, and I Am Awake. That is up next. Have a great one. Till Friday. See ya.